It's that time of the year again. UW-Stevens Point has their camps that last about 2 weeks, two separate camps, I understand, for Suzuki training. And there's a lot of violins and other stringed instruments around campus with students of all ages. Patrick Coley is the director of this program. Let's get a little history, first of all, about Suzuki Week. How'd this start?
This started in, we have a year-round program that started in 1967. And that's where we give lessons to children year-round. But in 1971, Marjorie Aber started the American Suzuki Institute. It's the oldest institute outside of Japan. It was the first one started outside of Japan. And since then, about 70 institutes happen each summer, and they're all modeled after this one.
Now, let's go a little bit into what exactly is a Suzuki Institute, because there's some people that aren't musicians and don't have any idea what we're talking about.
It's a summer camp for children who study this method. They come with their parents, and they have about 3-4 lessons a day, depending on their level. One is what we call a master class. There's 4 children in an hour, and they each get about 12 to 15 minutes with the teacher, individualized attention. Then there's a class that's called a technique class, where they learn specific techniques for the repertoire that they're learning, and that's 12 children in a class, so that's a group class. And then there's what we call a repertoire class, and that has about 24 children in the group, and that's essentially rehearsal and playing a lot of the pieces that they know. It's a rehearsal for the concert that happens on Friday.
It's really a different way of learning the instrument, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's modeled after how they learn a language. Dr. Suzuki was a very astute observer, and he observed that no child ever fails learning their language, and he started to analyze why that happens. And they're in an environment where the language is spoken. Parents are the teachers. They start early. There's lots of repetition and positive reinforcement and lots of reviewing. Once they learn a word, they don't forget that word to learn a new one. And reading is delayed. We have about 5,000 words in our vocabulary before we actually start reading. So we applied that to music, and we have a CD that the children listen to, just like you'd play the radio. You have that going on in the background. We start young. The children can start formal lessons about 3 or 4 years old. The listening can start much earlier, however. And parents are the teachers. They come with the children to the lesson, and then they repeat that lesson at home. And there's lots of repetition and positive reinforcement with the same awe and wonder that they had when their child took their first step. And then once a child learns a piece, they don't forget that piece, but they keep reviewing that, playing that over and over, and that actually is how they learn their next piece easier, because those skills become more ingrained. And they learn everything by ear in the beginning, and then we learn how to read music once they sound good.
So when people say music is universal language, this is really a way of teaching it like a language.
Exactly. And that's the beauty. We have people here from 32 different states and 6 foreign countries. And sometimes our foreign friends can't even speak English, but we can communicate through music. And at our festival concert at the end of the week, every instrument, the first piece is Twinkle. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It's kind of like our anthem. And, you know, for that 30 seconds, you get a glimpse of Dr. Suzuki's dream of the whole world living in harmony together. And that really is the goal of the method, not to mass-produce prodigies, but to develop loving, caring, sensitive human beings through the discipline of music. Dr. Suzuki believed that if a child heard good music from the day that they're born and learned to play it themselves, if they could become sensitive to a musical line, they'd be sensitive to the world and people around them, so there wouldn't be any more war. And we certainly could use that today.
I understand that this goes in 2 separate weeks, 2 separate groups?
Yes. We have one group here. This week we offer violin, piano, and harp. And the chamber music program is 2 weeks. So we have some advanced violinists, violists, cellists, and bass here. And then second week, starting next Sunday, we'll also have violin, lesser advanced violists, cellists, piano, and I think that's it. And guitar. I knew I was missing one. Guitar. And we also have voice. We started voice this year. We have voice teacher training going on. So we have a lot of adults that teachers of the various instruments that come to learn how to teach the Suzuki method. And so we have voice, although that draws pretty much from our own local program, because voice is just, as a method, is just getting started in the United States.
And from what I understand, people treat voice like an instrument.
Yes, absolutely. And it's amazing to hear what these little kids, their diction, their singing in tune, their effortless tone production. A lot of people think you can't teach young children how to sing correctly at a young age, but we have outstanding examples of that it is possible.
Let's take a look at some of the new things that are happening. I understand there's a couple things that are different this year.
Well, this year we're honoring two of the women that had a profound influence on our program. First is Marjorie Eber, who started the program in 1971. She would have turned 100 years old this year. And so we brought back Kara Schuller, who was one of her proteges, who's had a very successful career in Europe as an orchestral and chamber musician in Germany. And she's back doing a class for our chamber music students along with her ensemble in rehearsal techniques for chamber groups. We also have someone who's speaking both to parents and to our chamber music students on finding time to practice in the busy life of a teen, making your practice more efficient, and actually was doing an individualized kind of workshop with the students so that when they leave, they'll actually have a plan that they can follow. And then to honor our second woman of influence is Dee March. She was my immediate predecessor. She directed the program for about 23 years. And she passed away this past October. And so we commissioned a piece by one of her university viola students, and who was also a composition major and graduate of UWSP. And we're all going to be playing that on every festival concert in her honor to celebrate her gifts and contribution to the American Suzuki Institute.
Now this program to help people practice more efficiently and use their time more efficiently, this sounds like something that might carry over to everything outside of music.
Absolutely, and there are many benefits. I mean, a lot of parents enroll their children not so much so that they have music, although that's really great, and the children develop to a very high ability and are able to have a way to express themselves. But also, they learn poise in front of a group. They have developed fantastic memories. They learn how to listen. There's so much research now going on talking about how children, musicians, learn how to tune out other sounds that are not speech sounds. And so they're able to pay attention better in class because they're able to tune those out. And that comes from listening to their part in an orchestra and being able to follow their line while at the same time attend to the other lines that are happening in the piece. So there are many, many benefits, and not to mention what Dr. Suzuki said, just developing that sensitivity to beauty and to I think because children are so sensitive to sound, they also are very sensitive not so much to what we say but how we say it as well, you know, that inflection. And we're losing so much of that because of technology and email and everything being in the written word, and we just think that that's a really important aspect.
Coming up at the end of the week, there's the concert, the event for everybody to listen to the progress. I understand that's open to the public?
Absolutely. Every concert is open to the public, free, without charge. And they happen, you can look at our website or we have them posted. But Friday, most of the concerts are either 11, 1, 4, or 7, and you might just call to the office here, 715-346-3033, if you'd like more information or specific information.
And that's both this week and next week.
Right, this Friday and next Friday, right.
Is there anything you'd like to add today?
I think we've covered it. Thank you.